Well, hello there and welcome back. This is the final session of this year's Building Apps for Windows Phone 8.1 Jumpstart. This one is all about Silverlight apps on Windows Phone 8.1. It's not because we hate it. In fact, we love it. We've been building with it for years. And the good news is with Windows Phone 8.1, the majority of the goodness that's come with this release is available to you if your skills are Silverlight application development. There's loads of commonality between Windows Runtime XAML and Silverlight XAML, but the kind of framework, the way the apps behave, is a little bit different. So switching from one to the other is kind of non-trivial. The concepts are the same, the way the apps run is the same, but the way the app lifecycle works, for example, there's enough differences. So we're going to focus specifically on that. So I'm assuming, if you're watching this, that you are an existing Windows Phone app developer. Hi. Or you're a Windows Runtime developer, kind of curious what this other alternative universe is all about. So in this session, we're just going to have a quick recap on what the XAML frameworks are. Why have we got these choices? And why would you want to stay on Windows Phone Silverlight? When would you move to WinRT XAML? Then we're going to look at a specific case study. We're going to take a Silverlight 8.0 version of our old friend, the Contoso cookbook, and upgrade it to Silverlight 8.1. We're going to look at what that means to the app. It does introduce some changes to behavior. Some of them subtle, some of them you're going to have to kind of do some careful testing. And then there's also, we're going to look at the changes to tiles and notifications. You've got a choice there between staying with MPNS or moving over to WNS. So there's a loads of great value you can add by moving to Silverlight 8.1. So we're going to add some new stuff just to kind of drill that home. So yeah, we've got these two frameworks on Windows Phone 8.1, which we call Windows Runtime XAML and Silverlight XAML. So Silverlight, of course, is the one that people have been using for building apps for Windows Phone for a good many years now. It sits up there on the top right. This kind of broad block diagram is sitting up there on the top row because it is Windows Phone Silverlight is a premier technology for building the UI out of your apps. As are the other ones to its left there, shown on there, DirectX for games. Windows XAML, Windows Runtime XAML is the new one, and that gives you all the goodness of the universal apps and being able to share loads of your code and as Matthias showed there, and your XAML as well, if you want, between a Windows app and a Windows Phone app. Or you've got WinJS. You can build your UI out with HTML and have your logic alongside it implemented in JavaScript. They've got all of these are equally first-class citizens in terms of building out your UI layer for your app. Now, I'm focusing on the UI layer there because underneath that was all the blocks for the Windows runtime. And in a Silverlight 8.1 app, you've got access to all of those Windows runtime APIs, all the goodness that's in there, all the stuff we've been talking about all of yesterday, all of that you've got. So we're not talking about a deprecated platform here. You're not talking about one that is not getting any love from us. It totally does. You totally get access to all of this great new APIs. So, you know, we started back with Windows Phone 7.0. This is when Silverlight, as it is, came as the app technology for XAML app-based development. It's not the same as the browser plugin. It was the same XAML, which is why it kept the name, but in actual fact, in the browser plugin, there was a way you could install an app from the browser and install it onto the desktop. So it kind of like, well, this is the desktop, but not with the browser bit. So we were using the same XAML and the same the code behind to create native apps for Windows Phone 7. And then we added loads of APIs in Windows Phone 7.5, still Silverlight XAML. And then we get to Windows Phone 8, it's still Silverlight XAML. And then we get to Windows Phone 8.1, and this is where we get these choices, because we brought Windows Runtime XAML down from Big Windows, and that is now available for Windows Phone as well, which is what opens up. If you adopt Windows Runtime XAML as your framework, you can build these universal apps that share loads of code between Windows and Windows Phone. Talking about Windows, of course, Windows 8.0 has been when Windows Runtime XAML came in, and that also got an upgrade when we moved to Windows 8.1. So this is the kind of the family of XAMLs that we've got out there. So if your skills are Windows Phone Silverlight app development, you've been building apps for Windows Phone, why would you want to stay on that? Well, why should you move to WinRT XAML? Well, obviously you've got all those skills. You've got the existing investment. You know how these apps work. So, and you can very easily take your 8.0 app and create an 8.1 version of it and stay in Silverlight. So you don't have to rework all your UI to get your apps running on Windows Phone 8.1. There are a few features listed there under Not Yet Converged, like camera lens apps, where in the camera you can select a special lens, like a panorama, and the new Office one, where you can kind of use your phone like a scanner. They're only Silverlight, and there's a number of others there that you can see that are only Silverlight, voice over IP, lock screen, apps that can change the lock screen background, and things like that. So there's a few, not many, but there's a few that are Silverlight only. And it's all about, we're saying to you, we recognize you've invested all this time in getting up to speed and becoming a skilled Silverlight app developer. We want you to be able to continue to use those skills and move on to WinRT XAML when it's ready for you, or when the time is right. So if you're going to stay with Silverlight 8.0, obviously you could carry on building with Silverlight 8.0, and any apps that you create using that existing skill set and the existing APIs will run just great on Windows Phone 8.1 devices as well as Windows Phone 8 devices. Why would you want to then take your Silverlight 8.0 app and retarget it up to 8.1? Once you retarget it, that version will only run on 8.1 phones. So, but you can kind of maintain two versions of your app and install and have them both being sold through the store. So you could have an 8.0 app version of your app, and then alongside it, you could have an 8.1 version of your app. In the 8.1 version of the app, of course, you can take advantage of all these new APIs we've been talking about over the last couple of days. So access to SD cards and the geofencing, to take a couple of examples, and single sign-on, the share contract, and kind of loads of more of them. These days, the loads more of them. You can get access to all of these new Windows Phone 8.1 WinRT APIs. There are lots of them. I'm not even going to start walking through this. This is what we have been spending all this time talking about. And this is, with the WinRT API, we've got 90% of the WinRT API is converged with Big Windows and is available for Windows Phone 8.1 apps, whether that's WinRT XAML or Silverlight XAML. This is the feature set that is only available in Silverlight. I already said this. So let's have a look at the demo retargeting your app to Silverlight 8.1. Okay, here we've got our old friend, the Contoso cookbook. This is actually the version I built in the Windows Phone 8.0 Jumpstart.
Awesome.
It lives again. It's still with us. But now I want to create a new version of it and add some stuff to it. So here we go. It is an 8.0. I'll just draw this on the edge of the window out so you can see. It is indeed a Silverlight 8 app. So how do we retarget this to 8.1? Well, it's really hard. You say retarget to Windows Phone 8.1. It puts up a pop-up, says, you're going to upgrade this project, retarget it to Phone 8.1. It advises you to take a backup. And then it says confirm, and you say, yeah, absolutely. That's it, actually. What has happened? We've got another manifest. We've now got two manifests. We've got the old wmapmanifest.xml, which you still use. And we've got a new manifest, which is a kind of cut-down version of the WinRT version of the manifest, which this one has a subset of the stuff you see in the full package.apex manifest, which you get in a WinRT app. And it's used for settings that are appropriate, that are required in order to use the new WinRT 8.1 APIs. Things like, here we go, so it's already got background tasks in this. Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Now you see, the old one had a background task in it, and it's already upgraded it to use the new background task infrastructure.
That's pretty cool. Nice.
And you can add other ones, additional background tasks, file open pickers, file save mm-hmm. pickers. Because that's the other thing, you upgrade to 8.1, you've got your old background tasks, you're still running, but within the new framework, you can create new ones like the geofencing triggers and all the new triggers you can add into your Silverlight app. So loads of good reasons for doing it. Now, I'm just going to run this and just to show you... that didn't happen when I tried it. That's because... Oh, that's interesting. This has got a reference to the Windows Microsoft Phone Controls Toolkit, which... Have we got that for... have we got a version of that for 8.1 yet?
The toolkit? No, not yet.
Okay, just remove that. And then build, and I think it's not going to fix the problem. I'm hoping there's not going to be... let's get rid of this one. Now, that absolutely didn't happen before. That's kind of weird. What's the proper version of that? Root frame is new. Phone application frame, is it? What is it?
Hold on, I've actually got it here. Because I had that Silverlight application.
Phone application frame.
It you got it. Okay. Frame. Okay.
It depends if I've used any other stuff in the toolkit. Ooh, okay.
Oh, boy.
I've got a bomb here. I had built this before and it worked. What is going on here? It's something in the air today. It's that kind of day. This is the 8.1. This is weird. That's the same project, and I just upgraded it before, and it worked. And then this one. Anyway, I'm not gonna dig into that because what I really wanted to show. This is now a Silverlight 8.1 version, upgraded in rehearsal and live. It's let me down, but anyway, I can show you what I wanted to show because we can go off to recipe, and this is working just the same. We haven't added any new functionality. It looks like it's working absolutely brilliant. Now I've got this really cool feature in this where you can take a picture of your, you cook something and you think, oh, that's really cool. I'm gonna take my snapshot. So you have to imagine this block of colors actually is a picture of this dish you've just created, and we're gonna take a snapshot of it. And that's real nice. So, we've now got a picture of, there's our picture, which is when we created it, our picture of our, so we're on that screen. Now, let's just suspend our app, like we've always done. It's just suspended, so this sort of thing,
Right.
Right. And then we're going to go back to it and watch what happens. What I want to do is suspend it, so it's suspended. And then I'm going to launch it all over again. So you could go to the tile, or I can go to the apps program. So as you know, what happened there? So as you know, with Silverlight apps, when you launch it from the programs menu or from the tile, it actually launches a fresh copy all over again. So any saved copy is blown away.
Right.
What happened there, and that would happen with the 8.0 version, but with this upgraded version, something weird has happened. We're on the main page, but there's nothing shown. There's no data. So this is just illustrating to you, when you upgrade, don't assume it's just going to work. There are some changes that you need to... just test, which, of course, you all do, don't you? Don't just right-click, say, oh, I've got an 8.1 version. I'm going to ship it. I'm going to come back to that in a moment and explain why this has failed and what's gone wrong here. One point is worth saying about why it failed. Why the original version, when I right-clicked and retargeted, is because references don't get upgraded automatically. So if you're referencing any third-party packages... you need those third-party package providers to upgrade their to do a Silverlight 8.1 version of it. There isn't a Windows Phone Toolkit just yet. I guess there will be very soon.
I've heard rumblings.
Yes, there will be very soon, especially for this, because you have to re-add your references, and I have no idea. I'm just thankful that it did work in rehearsal, because otherwise I wouldn't have anything to show you, but I don't know quite what happened there. Anyway, moving on. So... This is getting digging down into why we had that failure in starting a new instance of the app there. So when you upgrade from Silverlight 8.0 to Silverlight 8.1, it's not just simply adding some new new artwork and a new package Apex manifest. It actually completely changes the runtime environment in which your app executes. So it's actually running in, I've called it, there seems to be a lot of confusion as to what we should call this. Some people call it the modern host, and some call it new WinRT host. But either way, what you're doing is, previously a Silverlight 8.0 app, even running on a Windows Phone 8.1 device is running in its nice familiar Silverlight little app execution framework, and stuff happens the way it always has, and that's, in life is good. But when you retarget a Silverlight 8.1, what you're actually doing is shifting your the way where your app operates over to the same runtime execution environment that WinRT apps run into, and they're running side by side. This is part of the magic that's happened that allows you to get access to all the new Windows Phone 8.1 WinRT APIs, and you get this package app manifest. But you can also use your Silverlight background agents and your WinRT background tasks together at the same time. So this is the diagram I was just talking about there. When you retarget, you change the whole execution framework. So you're actually shifting all the way over from the Silverlight execution stack to the modern execution stack, the WinRT execution stack. It's the same place that the WinRT XAML apps are running in. This is why you get access to all the new good, new cool stuff. But it does introduce a few changes. Now, there is quite a lot of them are very subtle. Some of these are CLR Silverlight bug fixes. So you get things like you run some API in a Silverlight 8.0 app. When you retarget and run the exact same code in when it's upgraded to Silverlight 8.1, you'll get an exception being thrown that you didn't have before. That's because actually with Silverlight 8.1, we've kind of taken the chance to fix some bug fixes. So, you know, you've got this kind of weird situation where your Silverlight 8.0 app was expecting certain behaviors from the CLR libraries, the APIs it's calling, which actually maybe, you know, we've looked at it and said, we've had some people saying, oh, that's not right. And you said, no, actually, you're right. That's a bug, you know. Right. So we fixed it in 8.1, but that means your code, which kind of was expecting the broken behavior, all of a sudden doesn't behave the same way. So go and read the docs. There's this platform compatibility and breaking changes for Windows Phone Silverlight 8.1 apps topic in MSDN. Go and have a read of that, which kind of takes you through some of these issues. Now, background execution. We kind of alluded to this. Not only, there's some good news and bad news with this, okay? So in a Silverlight 8.0 app, of course, you've got your foreground app, and you can run periodic and resource-intensive background agents. Those are the background tasks flavors we have in Silverlight 8.0. Then we have these other ones, the background audio player agent and the audio streaming agent. And we also have this thing called CBE, continuous background execution, which is kind of running in the background, but actually it's not the same as a background agent. You can think of it more like a foreground app that's allowed to keep on running with no UI. So this is used for turn-by-turn navigation and for run trackers, that kind of stuff. So, you know, you start tracking your run, you turn the screen off and stick it into your pocket or into something on your arm, and then you go off on your run and you get back, and yeah, maybe it can talk to you. There's an app I use that gives you a training plan that's really good and tells you to speed up and nags you. It's terrible. And you know, that's running without using any of the screen. It's running continuously running in the background. So that's what you can do in a Silverlight 8.0 app. Silverlight 8.1, yeah, like I said, there's good news and there's bad news. So your periodic and resource-intensive background agents still move across. And we saw that in the upgraded Contoso cookbook I had there. And you get all of the new triggers, all this great stuff, the geofencing, the Bluetooth LE, time zone, you know, connection, servicing complete, all this great stuff. But you can't use the old Silverlight 8.0 background audio stuff, and you cannot do CBE, run trackers and turn-by-turn navigation at all. At least with the background audio, you can replace it with the WinRT background audio. CBE, I'm afraid you're going to have to stay in Silverlight 8.0. The modern runtime, the WinRT execution environment, just has no concept of having a foreground app kind of continuing to run. It doesn't support it at the moment. Now, all of these we're kind of, you know, we're looking at, and for future releases we'll try and plug these holes. But right. But now for a run tracker and turn by turn, you're going to have to stay with 8.0.
Yeah, I think the idea with turn by turn and run tracker is that the geofencing is such a powerful and flexible and persistent way of running background execution that should be able to be good enough.
You can kind of do the same thing in a different way. But you're certainly not going to be able to port your code over.
No. No, you're going to have to, it's going to be a whole new model of how to do it.
Yeah. So let's add a new feature to our app, even though it's a bit broken at the moment, as you know. I'm going to come back to that start-restart behavior in a moment. But I do want to just add some new stuff, just to illustrate how we can add really exciting new features to our app. That, you know, that page where we just took a photograph, the recipe detail page, this guy, we can add some interesting new stuff on there. So on, I could build it. Got some invalid markup on there. Why is that? Oh, I know. This is the... Yeah, don't worry about this. I think it's something to do with the design time data. But actually, all I'm going to do is add myself another application bar button, which is... So I've already got two buttons on my application bar. I'll do this through the properties menu because it's nice and easy in there. Application bar. Why have I got no properties? What's going on? Application bar.
Show application bar.
This is not good news. I'll get rid of this instance thing. It's the design time data. I don't know if that's upsetting.
Right.
Where's my design time data gone? Man. Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Get rid of this. It would have given a lovely design time experience if it worked. Oh, actually, I think it's this. We good? Yay! There we go.
Yay.
Even got design time experience. Okay, so there's my design time experience. Let's zoom that so we can actually see something useful. And I was trying to add an app bar button. As you can see, we've got two already. Here's my shell to application bar. Thank you. Buttons. Let's go off to the editor and add ourselves another one. Add an application bar button. We have the icon URI, which is going to be... share. I'm going to share this photo I've just taken. That's the idea anyway. But I want to do it using the Swizzy new share contract, which is really cool. So where's my... where's that one gone? It's gone in the middle. Okay, that'll be all right. Share and call it share app bar button. And we're going to... hook up a click event handler on it, and there we go. And we need to put some code into this. So first of all, this is the share button. I need to call Data Transfer Manager, which is a new API, one of the WinR2. This is the share contract side of things. So I'm going to resolve that reference. Dot show share UI, and that's going to start the whole sharing process. Now, in order to do sharing as a share source, you need to hook up some event handlers. So I want my where's my unnavigated to? Gotta find. Have I got them? Unnavigated to. Here we go. And in here, I'm going to hook up. An event handler for the data requested event. So I go data transfer manager dot get for current view dot data requested event, and I go plus equals, there we go, and hick. Try that again. I got a bit hasty there. Plus equals tab to insert. Yes, have you done it? Plus. Oh, right, thank you. Did it a second attempt. There we go. So I've got my, I've got that, and actually I'm going to just, gosh, it's difficult working at this resolution, isn't it? Copy that line, and I need to unhook it as well when we go out. I haven't got an onNavigated to at the moment, so I'm going to go override onNavigated from, I mean, it's what I meant to say, navigated from, and just... paste that in, but change it to a minus equal, so we unsubscribe again. Mm. Okay, now in my data requested, I'm going to I'm just going to paste in some code. Share source in Silverlight, which is going off to get a user image I need to put an async on that because we've got all sorts of awaitables that we're calling, and we need to resolve the storage, windows.storage. And this is all common code, Windows, this is all WinRT code. This is all the new APIs. It's all exactly the same as you would use in a WinRT XAML app or a Windows 8 app, but it's here in a Silverlight app. And that's going to be, that's going to call out to a share. So, hey, let's have a go at this now. So I'm going to go off and run my app. We go off and choose a recipe. Quiche Lorraine, we think that's pretty cool, so we take a picture. There's our beautiful quiche Lorraine that we've just made. Isn't that lovely? And then we think, oh yeah, I'm gonna have to share this. And it says preparing content to share, and now you can share it out to all of these different share sources like NFC or to OneNote. Let's share it with OneNote, and then here you go, there's our lovely picture in OneNote. So, and that's taking advantage of all the really cool the share contract stuff that's in Windows Phone 8.1, which is much more flexible than we had in Windows Phone 8 Silverlight.
Yeah, I think one of the fun things about Silverlight 8.1 that we're seeing in these demos is the fact that it's kind of like, in many cases, it's like the Windows and Windows Phone, where as a general rule, most of the stuff you've got. A lot of the stuff, that the APIs that we've been showing you these last 3 days are things where it comes into Silverlight and just kind of by default. And it's really, you're looking for the exceptions to the rule. But the rule is, if you had it in Windows Runtime XAML, you're going to have it in Silverlight.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Right, so I'm actually going to kind of backtrack a bit now and have a look at why that app didn't work right when we restarted it. And that's because there are some changes when you go to
exceptions.
Silverlight 8.1.
Huh? Speaking of exceptions.
Yes, speaking of exceptions. Yes, here we go. Okay, so let's look at there are some changes to the actual app lifecycle when you go into Silverlight 8.1. First of all, the back key terminates the app just the same as Silverlight 8.0. Now, so actually that's not a change. That's not a difference. So I don't know why that's different. It's different from Windows Runtime XAML apps, which if you've been following the Jumpstart, you know that the back key in a WinRT XAML app actually suspends the app and goes back to the previous app. Silverlight 8.0, even when you move to Silverlight 8.1, you've got the same back key handling that you've always had. So it will navigate back through the page stack, and when you get to the home page, here's a difference. It will, on a Silverlight 8.0, it would terminate the app. If you go back from the launch page of an app, that would kill the app in Silverlight 8.0. In Silverlight 8.1, it doesn't. It does, looks the same because it closes the app, but actually the app is suspended, just the same as a WinRT XAML app. So that's a change. Now, if you don't like that, hang on, I'm getting this wrong, aren't I? Sorry, let me backtrack. Okay, start from that 30 seconds ago. So the Windows Runtime XAML apps suspend. The Silverlight apps, by default, do retain their normal behavior, which means when you get to the launch page of the app and the user hits back, the app terminates. If you want to keep the same behavior as Windows Runtime apps, there's a navigation service.pause on back method that property that you can set to true in your app.xaml. And that will cause it to suspend and not terminate. And the other one is Silverlight 8.1 apps resume instead of replace on relaunch. And this is actually why our app failed when I first ran it that time. We have this thing in Silverlight 8 that actually not many people took advantage of called fast application resume, which is kind of like the WinRT XAML app behavior. It means that if you've got a suspended copy of your app, that thing where in Silverlight apps where the user taps the main tile, the primary tile of the, or taps a tile for the app, or goes to the programs menu and selects the app from there, it would destroy the suspended version and launch a whole new copy of it. So with fast application resume in Windows Phone 8, you could change that behavior. So instead, if there was a suspended version, it would resume that one and not destroy it and create a whole new instance. That now is the only option for Silverlight 8.1 apps. You've got far, you don't have any choice. So this is how you used to do it in Windows Phone 8. You had to go into manually edit the manifest and say, I want this activation policy equals resume. There's performance advantages to this, of course. It means, you know, you've got one sitting there and suspended. Just reuse it. But, of course, you've got to be aware that your app is going to behave like that. So we've now only got FAR, which means effectively like this. You launch an app, any old app, a Silverlight 8.1 app. Your user launches another app, and so your app gets suspended, like he's now using running the calculator. And then your user comes along and decides they want to launch from the apps menu the same app again, your FAR one. Now, in the old ways, it would have blown away that suspended version, but now it just reinflates it, it reactivates it. So what do you need to do about this as a Silverlight app developer? Well, most of the time, not a lot, although as we've seen, we've got a little bit of an issue. App templates, you know, the new app templates already have code in them to actually make it look to the user. Actually, although the app is being resumed, they kind of unwind the navigation history of that suspended version and throw away the state. So effectively, the app will look like it's relaunching. And actually, that's why my Contoso cookbook, right in the first demo, ended up on the regions page. That is the launch page of the app. But actually, we have a problem because there's no data being shown. So there is already in the initialize phone application method, which is in your app.xaml.cs, this root frame.navigated plus equals check for reset navigation. If you go and have a study of, you know, create any old new Silverlight app and go and dig down into app.xaml.cs, you'll see this and a bunch of other methods that are related to it. They're all about giving this on resume, make it look like you're starting again behavior, which is kind of what users have expected with Silverlight 8.0 apps. Now, the interesting thing about this is that WinRT apps tend to resume and actually will tend to pick up where you were last. And they're kind of the framework running WinRT XAML apps is more geared to the experience of, hey, just put them straight back where they were regardless. So you always go back to the same page that they were on last. And in both cases, you might want to think about that. If they haven't run the app for quite a long time, for a few days or something, does it make sense to put them back on the same page they were on 4 days ago? Probably not. You probably want to start them from the home page. So you want to, in both cases, with RT XAML apps, you might want to override the kind of built-in behaviors that the framework, the classes and the navigation helper and all that suspension manager gives you in order to not resume at the right page. And in Silverlight apps, you might want to override the behavior that are built into these templates and say, when you are resuming in a short time period after the last time that they were running the app, you actually do go back to the same page. So either way, you're going to have to think about this. So let's just go and fix my app over here. The problem as it happens is can be illustrated by going to main page. The main page is the one that shows the regions. And in my onNavigated2 method, I'll set a breakpoint on it and we can have a look at what's going on. So let's run it. Actually, what's going to happen now? Because it was still suspended, wasn't it? It was still running effectively. We've got a progress indicator. So let me backtrack because that didn't really show what I wanted to do. So I want to go back. I want to basically make sure my Contoso cookbook isn't running at all. Let's just make sure it's dead. It is. It's not there. Good. We're good. So it's not running. So I'm going to run it from cold. This is a fresh run of the app, the start. And you'll see this first thing it says is the app recipes data loaded? If it's not, then we go through and we set up a progress indicator and then we load the data. And then, you know, everything happens as we expect and we get our recipes details on the screen. If we now suspend the app and go off and launch effectively a new instance of it, we're back in our breakpoint. But at this point, the isLoaded is still true because we've actually, instead of launching a whole new copy where isLoaded would be false, we've reinflated. We got the suspended one back. So we're not actually doing what all this stuff. We're not doing the lines just above there where we're loading our data in and then putting it onto the page. So this is why we end up with not that one, that one. This is why we, oh, hang on, I'm still stuck on this. This is why we end up with a completely failed demo. It's meant to be blank. That. I think we have to do that again. Let's go over to recipes and take that and pick my recipe, take a photograph. Then we're taking a photograph, and then we're going to launch a new instance of it while that is going on, and let it run, and there we go. So that's the problem. So we just need to fix that navigation, because what's going on is the app templates, just to drill that home.
So if I can make sure I'm following, the recipes is loaded, that property has been persisted.
Yeah.
But not the items property on...
So let me go back to the... Yeah, you're right to call me out on that. So the... here we go. Look, when the recipe data is loaded, we're executing this... So app.recipes fires an event when it finishes loading its data.
Yep.
So this event handler would fire if it loaded the data, and that is what sets the data context on the list so that we show the data.
I gotcha.
So we've got a subtle hidden problem here. So actually what we need to do to fix this is to... I need to backtrack a bit, because this is the plumbing code that's already in. This is a standard template new application stuff. And if you expand this, down here we've got check for reset navigation. This is what fires when you get an active reactivation from far, which is the only thing that happens these days. Mm-hmm. If we get a navigation mode reset, which means a far reactivation, then we clear the navigation backstack, so it's clearing all the navigation history out, and removes any back entries. So we end up with a clear backstack, no cached pages, and then we navigate forward to our main page again, and with a new navigation. So what we need to do is put a little bit of something like this that says we probably want to do something like else. If we're on a new navigation. If e.navigationMode is a new navigation, which means this is starting anew rather than going back into the page, then we want to actually use that loaded data that's still in memory, our app data, and reset the data context. So we go listgroups.dataContext is equal to our app. Dot recipes, which is already loaded. So
okay.
And then it'll all just work then.
So the data is still in memory. The properties are still in memory, but the data context hasn't been set for the page.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
right.
That makes
right.
lots of sense.
That's right.
Got it. Okay.
Let's just repeat that scenario. Take a photograph while we're in the middle of all that, and it's suspended, of course, while they were in the camera picker. Then we go to context of cookbook. It's not absolutely brilliant user experience because you see the other page flash up there.
Right,
but at least we're back into like normal, so we've had a fresh restart. Okay, so that was kind of interesting. All right, okay. Now, a couple of other things I'm going to call out about using new APIs that are kind of related to the app lifecycle. First of all, the share contract... As if you're a share target, you're going to get activated to handle a share. And you can also, if you use the file open picker, file save picker, or the web authentication broker, then these have these and continue methods that we talked about in other sessions. So they actually, and they all work in WinRT. These are the WinRT API's behavior for Windows Phone, whether you're running in a WinRT XAML app or in a Silverlight app. But the reason why I'm calling it out is that what happens is you call file open picker dot pick file and continue. And at that point, your app suspends and control transfers over to the shell UI that handles the, allows the user to pick where they want to choose where they want to pick the file from. It could be an app or it could be from the phone. And all this time, your source app is suspended. And then when they've picked a file, then it returns and reactivates your app so that you can be handed over that file and use it. And there's a new activation for that, contract activated. And again, if you add a new project for Silverlight 8.1, if you look in app.xaml.cs, you'll see in the initialized phone application, this other event handler shown at the bottom there, contract activated, is already hooked up. It's an empty event handler. You've still got to obviously write your code in there. And if you're upgrading an 8.0 app to 8.1, you'll need to add this in. And then this is how it works. And this is taking an example of the file open picker. And it's different from Windows. I've shown this slide before because I drive this home. On Windows, you just call openpicker.picksinglefileasync. The source app waits, and when they've finished, you get the file back, and away you go, and you keep doing your file processing with the one that they've picked. On Windows Phone, whether it's a WinRT app or a Silverlight app, you call picksinglefile and continue. And this is the reason why we've got this difference in the APIs is because of the need to support these low-memory devices, the 512 meg low-end phones. So your app maybe is suspended and maybe terminated. And then later on, when they have picked the file, you're going to be reactivated. And the way it works on Silverlight is like this. We've got our contract activated event handler. And in there, you'll be passed in an iActivated event args object of some kind. For the different activations, it will be a specific concrete type that you are passed in. So you need to find out which it is. So that's what the first line in contract activated is doing. Finding out, is it a file open picker continuation event args? If it is, well, we just store, in the Silverlight way, we just store that event args object in a public property on our app class. So that's all we do. And then normal Silverlight page navigation activation stuff will automatically, because it's been suspended, it will automatically resume you back at the page where you were when you were suspended, which is the same page where you called the file picker API. So then, in your on-navigated to, you just need to have a little bit of code like this that sort of says, oh, okay, thank you, I'm starting again. Is this because of a file picker continuation? Or is it because I've just been navigated to normally? So you can look at that file picker continue the property on the app class that you added there. Has it got a value in it? If it has, you know that this is a file open picker continuation. So then you can just carry on with processing the file. Actually, what's not shown there as well is after you've processed it, you probably ought to say set app.filepickerContinuationArgs to null to avoid an inappropriate activation of this code later on. And you can implement the provider side as well. So you can be an app, you can create a Silverlight app that is a share target and a file open picker provider, one of the apps the user can choose to select in order to pick a file. So you can be the app that provides the UI that the user uses to pick a file. So they're available. I'm not going to go into any details on them. I'll leave that. It's the same, actually, the same demo I showed in the WinRT ones, but just okay. The Silverlight favorite. Okay. It's in the sample code. I'm going to move on and get so we can finish on time. WNS. Okay, this is an interesting topic. So in a Silverlight 8.0 app, you use MPNS or MNS, Microsoft Push Notification Services, which was the push created for Windows Phone 7, and it has been obviously with us for a few years now. In a Silverlight 8.1 app, you can choose to use MPNS or WNS. It's actually not quite, I mean, that's an or from an API's point of view. So your code that uses push notifications will run just the same in a Silverlight 8.1 app. Actually, under the covers, it's using WNS. You are running on WNS once you retarget a Silverlight 8.1. So this is just it's just about the APIs you're choosing to use. You can leave all your push notification code just fine. There are a few changes, some methods you call that you would normally have expected a sort of true-false response from. They will always look in the documentation. But basically it means your code should just run if you stay with MPNS. However, if you choose to switch over to the WNS APIs as well, remember it's WNS under the covers, but this is your programming interface that we're talking about. If you switch over to the WNS kind of app, the programming APIs, you get access to all of the WNS goodness, which is a lot of it. So you can't use both together. You've got to choose one or other from the programming APIs point of view. WNS is better. I mean, yeah. But you're not forcing you to go there. So it's much more reliable. Notifications get there faster. You don't need any certificates. It's obviously all your code is converged with. It's a WinRT WNS code. So it's just very reusable across universal apps. And got a lot of extra features as well. Now, the way you select, when you upgrade an app, and just switch back over to here, this guy. When you upgrade an app, where's my... you go to your not that one. WM app manifest. This notification drop down here, it will stay on MPN by default. But if you want to switch to WNS, you just simply click that other one. There's more to it than that, of course. It's not just a case of selecting the right drop down. But that's where you start. That's the starting point. And you need to go in and specify your tile and icon. Once you switch over to WNS, you need to supply all of these visual elements. Some that you can specify through the manifest editor, and some that you have to go in and manually edit. But you need to supply all the right artwork. Now, the other things are, once you switch over to WNS, you need to set that toast capable equals true in the package.apex manifest file if you start using WNS toast. And the tiles are not, once you switch over, we're not talking about a trivial thing here, because your cycle tiles are not supported, your flip tiles are not supported, so you've got to change over to things like tile notification queues and the peak template, for example. So you've got to choose one of the WNS templates. And also, when you're creating tiles, you're still going to remember to use the Silverlight page-centric navigation model. So that's different from WNS, where you just pass a sort of string or something different. Now here's a little the second book bottom bullet point. I'm going to come back to in a minute. I want to talk about the bottom one first. Even when you've switched all of your code away from MPNS and you now think you've got everything is all WNS, make sure you haven't even got any left any using statements in. Because if you've even got a using statement, even if you're not actually using any of the APIs, it will still pull in the wrong namespaces and chaos will happen. So you've got to make sure you completely cleanse your code of any references to MPNS. The other one, the request create async thing to pin a secondary tile. That's interesting. So, and this is a problem, actually, is not specific to Silverlight. It's actually true of any phone apps, even WinRT apps on Windows Phone. And the problem here is that this same code here is WNS code that you could have in a Windows app. A Windows app can pin a secondary tile using this code, and this exact same code will compile and will appear to run in a Windows Phone app. But actually what's happening is, so you're creating a new secondary tile at the top there. Now, when you create a new secondary tile, you're fairly limited in the customizations on that tile. So what typically happens is you create your tile. You then call tile.requestCreateAsync in a Windows app, and you await it. The tile gets pinned, and then you do some other stuff to update it. You might go off and read a file and get an image and do some other stuff.
Render some demo.
You customize it. On phone, because the shell behavior is different, when you pin a secondary tile, your app suspends. And that is Windows Phone behavior. It suspends your app and the user is taken back to the start screen. They can see their new tile. It's the way that the phone works with secondary tiles. It always has done that, which means your app is suspended. That does mean that any code you've got in your code that you've just pulled across from your Windows app, after that request create async, well, it may or may not execute. There's actually a little bit, you've got that little window between calling request create async and the app being suspended. So it depends how lengthy that code is as to whether or not it's going to complete. But what you mustn't do really is rely on that executing. So what you need to do is in your app class, put a static, an action property on it. An action is something you can assign a method to, and it will execute the code when the action gets executed. So you have an action property, which will be null to begin with. And then, And then this bit down here, you will actually put into an action. Let me show you the demo. This is actually a sample that you can go and download, a standard sample. You can go and pull this down. It's actually a Silverlight 8.1 sample, tile update after deactivation. Now, I have actually cheated a little bit. So there's two scenarios. Let me just run it on the emulator. Two scenarios. You can pin the tile and update immediately. So run the code immediately. That's the one I'm going to show you first. So you pin the tile here. And then I've put a little delay in because, unfortunately, the emulator's too fast. And this does actually work, which kind of spoils my demo. So then we're going to go off and update it a bit. But you can imagine this simulating some lengthy work, such as you've gone off to a web service or opened a file, done some stuff that's significant. And so we can do that. And we just make sure the tile's not pinned. And you can pin the tile and then try and run that code to update it. which the tile is already, and you see we've got the original tile. It's not been updated at all. I can go back into the app actually just by pinning it, and then go back to the better way, which is, updated, what happened there? Let me just run it again. So you saw the updated one. So it did actually get to the river. Right, and then to the other one, you pin an update on scenario on the deactivated, and I'll show you the code in a minute. So you pin it, and scenario 2's tile is already updated. So what happened in scenario 2, the right way of doing it, is that we've got our request delete async and nothing after it. But what we have done is we have set up on this page a, if I can find it, where do we set the action? Pin and update clink. Here we go. App on new tile pinned is equal to update tile. Update tile is that method, go to definition, which does the updating, which is the stuff we were trying to do after it was pinned before. So there we go. Lots of notifications to update the tile. And we, so what we're doing is we're deferring all that. We're putting it to an action on app. So what we do in app.xaml.cs is there's that property that we set on update to into. But then in a, we find our application deactivated. So this will fire as your app is being suspended. We say, is this action property, if it's not null, then we execute it. So, and then we clear it just so we don't have any false positives later on. So in the application deactivated, we're doing the update, updating the tile afterwards. So it's kind of a bit.
Wow.
Bit, it's, yeah.
It's like just in time compilation.
It's something like that. So it's weird and wacky stuff. So this is, and I call that out, I say it's not specifically a Silverlight problem. It's a phone app WinRT API tiles problem. And I call that out here because if you are doing this navigation from, you're moving from MPNS to WNS, this is something you might trip up with your copying code from Windows and you think, oh, that should work, you know. So just be aware there's some differences there. Just lastly, a couple of words on app submission. Silverlight 8.1 apps run on 8.1 phones only. You can actually submit up to the store a 7.x version of your app, an 8.0 version of your app, and an 8.1 version of your app to and each, if an 8.0 user will get the 8.0 version of it, an 8.1 phone owner will get the 8.1. So you've got apps supporting all of the phones that are out there at the moment. So that's certainly possible. There is a bit of unfortunately, the tooling has let us down just a little bit. Silverlight 8.1 apps require that you must manually edit package.apex manifest before submission. There's a topic, prepare your Windows Phone Silverlight 8.1 app for publishing in the MSDN that takes you through it. But essentially, it's you reserve an app name in the store. You have to note that, and you have to make a note of that app name and that package identity name and the publisher name in the store once you've reserved the name. Make a note of all of them, and then you come in and manually edit your Apex manifest, and you have to really plug, you have to cut and paste those values in here. This is a package.apex manifest, and the publisher name goes in there, and the app name needs to go to one other place as well, which is in your WM app manifest.xml in there. So unfortunately, it's a bit manual. We're sorry, but it didn't make it into the tooling. So that's for Windows Phone 8 Silverlight 8.1 apps only. So, in summary, which XAML framework should you use? Whichever you want. We've got loads. Which one would you like? I've got loads of XAML frameworks. For a new app, choose between WinRT or Silverlight, depending on which you feel more comfortable with. WinRT opens, obviously, the opportunity up for universal apps. If you've got an existing Windows Store app, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you choose WinRT, it's only going to run on 8.1 phones. So that's one consideration. If you want to use a lock screen image or cameras, some of these features that are Silverlight only, you can go for Silverlight 8.0 or Silverlight 8.1. Music app, background audio, then you'll have to use Silverlight 8.0 or WinRT APIs for that. And existing Silverlight phone apps you're upgrading, Silverlight 8.1 or you could choose a migration to WinRT, but that's absolutely non-trivial. So
yeah, that's The closest correspondence you would see is what we saw in the Universal Ops demo, where I have the linked files and the PCL, and that would be if I was doing a migration from a Windows 8 application, I would do a very serious refactor, pull things out, put them in a PCL, and start.
If you haven't got it, if you're not starting from a good place in terms of the structure of your apps,
very much so.
Yeah, don't go there. Well, astonishingly, there we go. With Windows Phone 8.1, you know, we've got two XAML frameworks. We are protecting your investment, your skill set if you're a Silverlight developer. We're also giving you a great route forward to Universal Apps with WinRT XAML for building apps that each share loads of code between Windows and Windows Phone. It's a great product, and that is the end of the Jumpstart. We have finally reached the end. If you've been with us all the way through, congratulations. And yay. If you are, you come to this and you've been through the videos watching this after the event through MVA, welcome to the end. And for us, I'd just like to say thank you so much for watching. I hope you've all learned something useful. I guess, is there a survey again?
Probably
a survey, we're told. If there is a survey, please let us know if this was useful to you.
Yep.
There is a survey. So, yes, if you could please answer the survey. We'll stay online for a little bit and answer any questions. And other than that, it's just time to say thank you and goodbye.
Yep.